Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of May 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, hear a bit more about the price of diesel fuel and how it works into U.S. farmers' crop budgets. That with Gary Stintke. He's an ag economist right here on this Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. In the corn pit, nearby futures finished at 366.5 for the May contract, up 5.25 for the day. In July at 366.75, up 4 cents. And the September 372.75, 3.75 higher. December contract, 382.5, up 3.5 cents for the afternoon. Next year's corn at 394 for the March, up 4 cents. Soy complex, May beans, down 3 cents in the nearby May, 990.5. July at 982.5, down 2.25. August 975.75, down 1.5 cents. And September soybeans at 962.25, unchanged. November at 956, a penny and a half higher. Next year's January at 962.25. They finished up 1.5 as well. May bean meal at 317.60, down 50 cents on the afternoon, and bean oil 13 cents lower at 32.75 for the day. Chicago soft red winter wheat up 12.75 cents at $4.79 and a quarter, and the hard red July at 503.5, 13.25 cents higher. Live cattle futures from Chicago at the CME Group at $150.30, $1.15 lower in the June contract. Feeder cattle finished the nearby May at 214.32.5. They were down $1.50. The August at 216.75, also down $1.50. And the lean hogs finished up the nearby May at $80.47.5, $1.47.5 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day trading at $60.91 a barrel, up 51 cents in the June contract. July up 49 cents for the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2 a penny and 4 tenths. They're just about unchanged. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.03 and 3 tenths of a cent, 3 cents lower. And natural gas for the day currently trading the nearby contract at $2.77 and 2 tenths of a cent, is 8 tenths of a cent lower. Ethanol futures from Chicago to $1.65 and 2 tenths, up 2 and 3 tenths of a cent. Dow Jones Industrial Average 163 points lower at around 17,701. The gold at 350 lower at $1,189, and the dollar index at 94.18 is down 1.022 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies on our way to a high of 88 degrees. South winds at 13 miles an hour. Tonight, clear and a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 85. South winds at 7 to 16. They'll gust to 21 tomorrow. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 63. Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely to move into the area. Mostly cloudy with a high of 83. Southwest winds at 9 to 14. They'll gust to 18. Chance of rainfall on Friday in the area set at 60%. Friday night, that drops to 50%. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of 64. And Saturday, a 50% chance of rainfall. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. It is the 6th day of May, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We could start directly in the commodity markets for agriculture indices, but I really would like to turn your attention to the dollar. When I read the number for what its drop looked like today, it was pretty sharply lower.
It certainly was, Todd. I mean, you know, it's at levels that we haven't seen since January. I think a lot of it is coming out of Janet Yellen spoke in Washington today, and she reported, of course, dismal productivity numbers. We knew that, you know, that was already in the market from last week because the GDP wasn't very good. It said there was some need for concern and that the stock market, she made a comment that scared, I think, people. She said the stock market was, prices were quite high. And there's a lot of speculation that the jump in the trade deficit may actually push the U.S. First quarter into contraction. And so none of that is really good news for us, other than, you know, a lower dollar is good from an export standpoint. But the U.S. private sector jobs came in today at 169,000 versus 200,000 expectation. If Friday's non-payroll report and the unemployment report don't come in good, you know, I think we could probably see some continued weakness in the dollar. The dollar could go back down to 92, which is a major support level. But even more than that, when you look at it from our perspective, Todd, and when I say our, I'm talking about production, agriculture's perspective, this is causing the Brazilians and the Argentinian farmers really to get worried because, you know, their currency is now getting stronger. If you remember back a number of times we've talked, you know, this higher dollar really encouraged them to hang on to beans, to hang on to corn, and now we have to be very careful because if it drops too much more, I think you will probably see some pretty aggressive selling down there. They're still behind. Brazil's only 61% on old crop compared to 69% normally, and of course we know that Argentina's sitting on 65% of the world bean supply right at the moment, and you know, so I guess I'm just raising a flag here and saying, the dollar being down, good for exports, and we need that. But at the same time, could bring more stuff onto the market that we haven't seen in a long time.
What do you think about next week's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates? They'll, of course, update the old crop numbers, but they'll also take the first official World Agricultural Outlook Board stab at what the new crop production in the United States might look like, and more importantly, what the carryover at the end of the 2015-16 season could be.
Well, you know, I think if you were to look at today's trade, Todd, you know, there was probably two or three different components going on, one being the dollar lower, two being the wheat tour and coming in seeing that, you know, the numbers aren't quite as good in some areas. But probably more importantly, I think we saw fund short covering ahead of the USDA report after we saw some of the guesses come out. When you look at, you know, they're guessing a 13.5 billion bushel crop. Mind you, the range is 13.2 to 13.9. You know, that's down from last year, of course. That's about 700 million bushels less than last year. On the bean crop, they're at 3.8. 3.7 to 4.1 are the guesses, basically. But the big thing is the carryout. The average guess for carryout for 2015-16 came in at 1.759 billion. That's lower than the guesses for 14-15, which are at 1.856. Why would that be? Well, I think part of that is just that they don't think that the 171 is a real number for this year's crop, so they think that, you know, ultimately it's going to end up bringing things down. And they're also banking in there, I think, some ideas that we've got some, well, maybe plant a little less corn. I don't know if I ever believe that, but the ranges there are high, too. You know, on the 1.7 billion bushel carryout, there's guesses of 1.5 all the way to 2.2. So nobody really has a good feel. They see a larger bean carryout for 16. And the wheat carryout actually a little bit lower. So it's going to be an interesting day because, you know, like you said, this is the first time we're going to see the guesses that the USDA has. And We're also going to be waiting to see if they actually lower corn exports because we're still dragging. You know, we're below expectations. Ethanol production was down today. And will they actually look at, avian bird flu and the impact that it may or may not have on available corn to the market? I saw some interesting information right before you called on, you know, we keep talking about how important it is that it stays out of the broiler portion of the growing area, which would be the eastern section of the United States, you know, and it starts in Arkansas already, Arkansas, Alabama. The biggest is Georgia. Just to put a little bit of perspective onto this, last week, all the broiler production states placed 209 million eggs into incubators and placed 173 million birds in for meat production. That's in 1 week. So you can understand why avian bird flu in the eastern flyway would be an absolute disaster for us if it really spread a great deal, because that is where the biggest numbers are and the greatest danger. So we'll see once what happens.
We'll have to continue to watch that. I did have some discussions with one of the avian flu, actually poultry experts, not avian flu experts, but once you're a poultry expert, everybody, you tend to watch the diseases pretty closely. I had a discussion here on campus yesterday with one of them. We'll talk about that more in future dates. But he reminded me that there were flyways, three different flyways across the United States, and we haven't heard from the eastern eastern side of the United States, which does have a flyway. And he was a little concerned that even despite the warmer temperatures, longer photo periods during our daylight hours, that there still may be some troubles yet to come as it relates to H5N2. So more to come there, but just the numbers that you've given us, are staggering numbers, and they do consume a great deal of corn and soybeans.
Well, they do. I mean, you know, biggest is Georgia. Georgia placed 34 million birds last week. Can you imagine?
That's a lot of birds.
That's a lot of birds, yeah.
That's a lot of birds. Okay, other things that we probably ought to discuss. We've been watching the Argentine, and you mentioned it a little bit, but the Argentine labor issues and then how that all moves in the southern hemisphere. Are you concerned very much about the labor strikes in those ports? It tends to happen every year.
Every year. I'm not. I look at it as a great opportunity for us to be able to take advantage of, you know, because we see this every year, an opportunity to do short covering, an opportunity to maybe do some better hedging. But the port workers even put their strike off now until May 14th due to government sanctions. So they're pretty afraid of the government. The bigger thing that's going on in Argentina is the Argentine Grain Exchange last week put production at 60 million metric tons for beans, and you know that's approximately 108 million more bushels than where the USDA has them at this moment. So that isn't a great, you know, just that's just not great news. Let's put it that way. They also raised the corn production to 25 million metric tons. That's a million and a half higher than the USDA has them. And Brazil, I mean, the weather has been so extraordinary in South America. It's unbelievable. Brazil raised their safrina corn yield average to 92.4 bushels per acre, and the corn production they put at 78 million metric tons on 960,000 less acres than they thought they had. So Mato Grosso could possibly beat the old record, which was 95.8 bushels to the acre, because safrina corn down there in Mato Grosso is ranked 94% good to excellent. Paraná is ranked 98% good to excellent. Just absolutely an unbelievable year that they're having down there.
Hey, speaking of ranking, have you been watching the wheat tours here in the United States?
I certainly have. I mean, you know, of course, we took off this morning with the idea that, you know, some of the Kansas fields came in pretty negative. Actually, I shouldn't say extremely negative. They came in close to last year. That's lower than the expectation was. At the same time, though, Oklahoma came in 10 bushels better than last year. So it's going to be interesting when the tour ends on Thursday and we actually get some final numbers on it. The reality is that we are not the wheat producer of the world. Wheat's important a lot of times for rotation. But in most cases, when you talk to some of the guys, it's the straw that's the most valuable, depending upon where you're located, you know, because if you have dairies or anything else, man, straw will bring you much, much greater income than the actual wheat will. But, you know, the lower dollar isn't hurting us any. We're still not competitive in the world market, but, you know, we're just not the number one grower. We're too far away from the demand market.
On that, just one last thing to take up. It appears Russia may lift its export tax on wheat.
Yeah, they're, you know, first they said it was going to be June 30th. Now they're saying it could be as early as May 15th. And the negative to the wheat market, of course, is that makes another 8 million metric tons available. And that is never a great thing. When we float over there, you look at Greece. Greece made their IMF payment. Hey, how about that, huh? So it looks like there's maybe some progress being made there, but I never count that until it's all done.
Talk so. With you again next week. Hey, thanks so much. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks.
That, of
yep,
course,
me
is.
Too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, that, of course, is Jackie Vick. She's from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Now, here's Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming, with today's ag news.
Federal authorities have approved a drone large enough to carry tanks of fertilizers and pesticides. The drone, called the RMAX, is a remotely piloted helicopter that weighs 207 pounds. The drone has already been used elsewhere, including by rice farmers in Japan. First day results of the Wheat Quality Council tour suggests the hard red winter wheat crop in northern and central Kansas may see a slightly reduced crop yield compared to a year ago. Crop scouts estimated the average yield for the first day of the tour at 34.3 bushels an acre. Last year, the average yield estimate for the first day of the tour was 34.7 bushels an acre. The crop tour will release a final yield estimate for the Kansas wheat crop on Thursday afternoon. Meanwhile, Informa Economics yesterday trimmed its forecast for U.S. winter wheat output. Informa projected winter wheat production at 1.486 billion bushels, a decline of 12 million bushels from its previous forecast. In a separate report, Informa projected Brazil's corn production this year at 80.3 million metric tons, an increase of 5.6 million tons above its previous forecast. It also increased its estimate for soybean production in Brazil by 1.5 million tons to 94.5 million tons. Russia's agriculture ministry has proposed to slash the export duty on wheat more than a month before it was scheduled to expire. Yesterday, the ministry said it wants to lower the minimum export duty to 1 euro a metric ton from at least 35 euro a ton. The export duty had been scheduled to expire on June 30th. California water regulators adopted sweeping, unprecedented restrictions yesterday on how people, governments, and businesses can use water amid the state's ongoing drought. The State Water Resources Control Board approved rules that force cities to limit watering on public property, encourage homeowners to let their lawns die, and impose mandatory water savings targets for the hundreds of local agencies and cities that supply water to California customers. Each community will have a water reduction mandate of between 8 and 36%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, the price of diesel has dropped. And as you'll hear, this should be helpful to U.S. farmers. U.S. farmers struggling to find ways to cut costs will find the price of diesel fuel somewhat comforting. It is one of their larger input costs for the production of row crops like corn and soybeans. This year, that fuel cost will be sharply lower, says University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke.
Since 2011 on through 2014, we've been seeing diesel fuel prices average right at $3.50. So this, where we're at now, is about a 36% decline. So a rather significant decline in diesel fuel over this last year and the last 4 years.
Here's how that cost translates directly to the farm. Last year, fuel cost Illinois farmers, on average, $24 per acre of corn production. A 36% drop puts that estimated cost this year at $15 an acre. It's a $9 savings, but certainly not enough to really ease the coming income woes of the American corn farmer, comments Schnitke.
But, you know, non-land cost for raising corn is about $600, so it's a relatively small portion of the total cost of producing corn, and for that matter, soybeans in the state.
Schnitke thinks producers should certainly consider taking advantage of diesel fuel prices today. The other two items of note related to energy costs concern drying corn in the fall and nitrogen fertilizer. The ag economist thinks drying costs should be much lower this fall. As for the cost of nitrogen fertilizer, and this would be for next year, well, he says
patience, particularly relative to nitrogen fertilizer and buying it, might be a good thing because maybe someday that will come down.
The cost of nitrogen fertilizer for this year is actually higher than it was last year. Its primary creation cost is from natural gas. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. That's the ethanol plant there. Alex Reed is on the phone line for us this afternoon. Hi, Alex. Thanks for being with us. Farmers moving quickly there in your area to put corn in the ground, and have they begun planting soybeans yet?
Yeah, a lot of guys definitely getting out. Today it's been pretty nice. The rain has kind of held off here. As opposed to what we thought last week, we thought it would definitely be a lot wetter this week, but it's warm. Guys are getting out, getting rolling. Beans a little bit behind, but progress is being made. So,
all right, and I take it because of that, you're probably not getting much in from the farmer, at least in the way of grain to manage the ethanol plant. You have enough in storage to make it through for a while?
We do, but, you know, this place is a monster. It eats a lot of corn every day, so we always need some corn. So basis has remained strong. There is very limited farmer movement currently, which is good because we like to hear that guys are out in the field. So.
How strong is basis? How far under are you?
We are actually posted 5 over for May delivery.
I wondered about that when I asked. So
that's
a good thing, but not enough for farmers to take advantage of it, or at least to haul them out of the field. I wouldn't think that would be the case. Do you expect that strength to continue through the end of their planting progress? And it won't take them very long, really, to put both corn and soybeans into the ground.
Right. Yeah. Most guys say if they get 10 good days, they can get in the field and they can be done. So if the weather stays like it is, if it stays warm and rain holds off, I think that basis will remain firm only for a short time, because as soon as guys get out of the field and they want to start moving stuff, it's going to fade again.
Very quickly, have you started talking about the World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates and what it might show next week yet?
Briefly, a little bit. I know it's...
That's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's pieces to it. We're talking to the farmers, but right now it's more about, you know, getting the guys out in the field and seeing what we can get done for them now.
What are your bids for the day?
Let's see. Cash corn here at Climbers, we are at $3.72, and beans, we are at $9.91.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Yep. Thanks, Todd.
Alex Reed is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's their ethanol plant located outside of Logansport, Indiana. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Don't forget, you can find us online at WILLAG.org.
It's National Hoagie Day. The hoagie was originally created in Philadelphia on Hog Island, home to a shipyard during World War I. Italian immigrants working there would bring giant sandwiches made with cold cuts, spices, oil, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and peppers for their lunches. By the way, depending where you live, the hoagie goes by lots of names, including the submarine, hero, grinder, dogwood, zeppelin, and poor boy. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Nellie Bly was born. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. Later in life, she took over her husband's dyeing industries and introduced the steel barrel to the distilling process in America. In 1936, a patent was granted for the first bottle with a screw cap to Edward Ravenscroft of Glencoe, Illinois. In 1904, USDA announced it was considering banning importation of horses from France after an investigation determined that a disease outbreak in Iowa was traced to French horse imports. And in 2006, the Agricultural Research Services announced the development of two new machines to improve cotton lint cleaning. The new machines increased bale weight by 8 to 10 pounds by retaining more good fiber than standard lint cleaners. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take up the weather forecast. Looks like it will be a bit wetter than it has been, Drew, and might just slow farmers down.
Well, I think that's true. Certainly on the west side of the Mississippi River, I think there will be a lot more reason for delays out that way, as the frequency of rain is a lot higher. Further east you go across the Midwest, the more infrequent or more random the shower and thunderstorm activity will be until the second storm system comes along, which comes in as we get into the weekend. We will see a slowdown in field work across the area. But, you know, with these temperatures up as high as they are right now, we're going to see some rather impressive drying rates in between the rain events. So as long as we don't pick up on multiple inches of rain, I think we'll be able to get back into the fields periodically in between the showers and thunderstorms that occur. But definitely we will be at a much slower pace than we have. Pretty impressive work. Everyone that's listening should be patting themselves on the back. Good job this week. And it looks like we will have an opportunity to see field work again advance at a swift pace, but we'll have to wait until sometime next week for that to take place. That's when we'll have the driest atmosphere back across the heart of the Midwest. It might be a little on the cool side. There's actually a risk of some frost in the upper Midwest as we get out towards the early to middle part of next week. Temperatures could fall into the 30s Fahrenheit for the low temperatures on Tuesday or Wednesday mornings next week, and it might induce a little bit of frost and light freezes. But all of this aggressive planting that we just went through this past week is probably going to just leave these crops down deep enough in the ground. It's not going to be an issue this time around. But I'll tell you what, if we get into this position again 10 days from now, it'll be a whole different story. And so we'll have to watch these temperatures as we go out that far in time. We'll not see another cool air mass for at least 10 days after this next week, though.
Will this take care of, and I listened to the crop progress reports on Monday from the state statisticians in Iowa and Minnesota, of the subsoil shortness of moisture levels? I think they were 30% short in some of those areas. So they have been and remain somewhat dry, despite the fact that they've gotten some weather systems over the top of them.
Yeah, if you're talking about the northwestern Corn Belt, this will be a disappointment. It'll be really good for them for a few days, but this isn't a trend changer, and we are going to fall back into a drier biased pattern again. And the difference is that we'll be with a warmer biased atmosphere as we do that, since it's going to be deeper into the spring season and summer around the corner. So we'll lose a lot of this moisture fairly quickly. So the short-term benefit, absolutely. We'll be able to see crops just jump all over this and come up out of the ground and get off and running to a good start, but they'll run out of gas after a week or so, and we'll need more moisture. But from a planting perspective and early crop development, this is definitely a big boon. Getting more rain in the region is going to be problematic, though.
No reason for alarm yet, I take it there.
No, not really, because I think the worst conditions will actually be more into the northern plains, spring wheat areas and canola country, and also Canada's southern parts of their prairies. So most of the Corn Belt, I think, should still have a pretty good year.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated, helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.